Sit in that chair. All right, here's the deal. Marshmallow, for you. You can either wait, and I'll give you another one if you wait, or you can eat it now. When I come back, I'll give you another one, so then you'll have two. But stay in here and stay in the chair till I come back, okay?
Okay.
All right. I'm gonna go do something and then I'll come back.
It smells yummy. It smells really good. So it's up to you. You can have it now or you can wait. Okay? Be back. Stay in the chair, okay? Okay. So I'm gonna leave and then I'll come back, okay? So you can either eat it right now or you can wait. Either way, okay? Okay. How'd you do? Did you do good? You did? Yeah.
You wanted to eat it, didn't you? Yeah. So did I tell you I'd give you another one? Okay, now you can have both. You need them.
Yeah, wasn't that a great video? Whoa. Well, if you haven't noticed, today I am preaching on patience. And we all have different levels of patience. If you were able to get online this morning and take a look at our live stream, it has the title of the message on there already. And, you know, we all have different levels of patience, don't we? We saw an example of that in the video just with those kids. And I don't know if this has ever happened to you, but it's happened to me, I think, more than once where you get up in the morning and you realize that you forgot to turn on your alarm. Or maybe instead of setting it for a.m., you set it for p.m. And then all of a sudden you're in a hurry and you're trying to get ready and you get dressed, you have breakfast, and as you're sitting down and having breakfast, you spill some coffee or milk or something on your clothes. And you're like, oh, man, and you're starting to run even more late. It's more time lost. And then you get changed. And then you get ready to go, and you're like, okay, I've got everything together. I got to get to work. I got to be there in like 5 minutes. And you hop in the car, but on the way to the car, you realize, oh, I forgot something in the house. And you turn back around, and you go back in the house, and then you get what you need. You turn back around. You head back to the car, but halfway back to the car, you realize that you forgot something else. And you have to turn back, and you get it. And then after you get it all this time, there's more time lost. And then you finally have what you need. You get to the car. You sit in the car. You're ready to go. You know you're running late. And then you get ready to start the car and dead battery. More time lost. and your blood pressure starts rising. Your heart starts pounding. You're not this measure of perfect peace, are you? You finally get the car started. And as you get the car started, you get on the road and you're making progress. And then next thing you know it, you're behind this person that's going 20 miles below the speed limit. More time lost. More patience tested. You finally make your way around this guy and you start moving. And then before you know it, guess what? You start hitting a red light and another red light and another red light and another red light. And there's more time lost. It's hard to be patient, isn't it? You know, today what we're doing is we've been focusing on these five characteristics of a Christian that will help us maintain unity in our relationships. That was an example of patience. The video was an example of patience. But the patience that I want to talk to you about today in the context, again, is patience in our relationships. And it's all based of this series of verses that we've been looking at from Ephesians chapter number 4. But if you want to turn your attention to the screen first, I'm going to have you actually turn to a different passage today. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 2 and 3, it says, with all humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another in love, be eager to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. You know, we've talked about that humility already, and with that humility, it's thinking of ourselves less and others more, as Mike Kesey would say. We've talked about that meekness. We've talked about how instead of retaliating, we show others grace, and we show them love, and we show them forgiveness. And again, today is about patience. So this is the base verse, but I want to do this today. I want you to open your Bibles to Romans. The book of Romans chapter 14 is where I'm going to be. Romans 14. So you have Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, and then Romans. When we talk about the word patience actually means this. It means to be long-tempered or to have a long fuse. It speaks of patient endurance of trials and afflictions. And we all endure trials and afflictions in our lives, amen? No one is exempt from that. Trials, they can be very tense, probably much more tense and weary than the example that I gave you here this morning. But again, it talks about us being patient and enduring through those trials and afflictions. It talks about being long-suffering. And another phrase that's used a lot is having a long fuse. How many of you would say that you have a long fuse? How many of you say you have a short fuse? How many of you say you have no fuse? So for those of you, for some of us, you know, this might be an appropriate shirt for you to wear. There it is. It took a while to load that picture, by the way. Did you notice that? Patience loading. Please wait. Sometimes patience in the Bible is also called long-suffering. And it's the opposite of the person who has a short fuse, of that person that just flies off the handle with the slightest provocation. Patience is all about how you respond. It's all about how you respond to frustrations, to inconveniences, to delays, to maddening circumstances, and to unexpected problems that come your way, in addition to how you respond to other people. Other people. It's hard to be patient. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Man, but these things come into our life every day. All the things I just mentioned about. But today we're going to talk about what does patience look like in those situations. This is what patience looks like in those situations. It means that I don't murmur. I don't write people off and say, hey, I'm done with this person. It doesn't mean that we turn in our resignation. It doesn't mean that we quit. It means that we wait. It means that we pray. Knowing the damage that a lack of patience can have in marriage, in ministry, in meetings, and in much more. When we're patient, basically we are turning things over to God through the Holy Spirit that lives inside of us. This word patience was originally used when it was a way to describe explosives like dynamite. When they were invented, they had a long fuse, and that's where this word long suffering comes from. And if we're going to maintain unity in our relationships, whatever that looks like for you, I know everybody in here is in a different stage of life. If it's in order to help you to maintain relationships and unity in those relationships at home, at work, on your team, anywhere else, we have to learn how to be long-suffering. We have to learn how to be more patient with each other. We need to learn how to have a long fuse. But let me say this. Being long-suffering, being patient, is not tolerance. And what I mean by that is this. You're not tolerating sin. There's patience. And by knowing that we have to be patient with each other, we know that we're not all perfect. Amen? We know that we all need time to grow. We all need time to overcome sin in our life. We all need time to heal when we've been wounded. Patience is a big part of our everyday lives. But again, we need to ask ourselves this question today. Is patience a strong quality in my life, in my everyday interaction with others? If the best you can say is, hey, I'm patient with at least one out of every 16 people, then you better watch this message again online later. Very possibly, there could be people in your life that are trying to provoke you, trying to get a reaction out of you, trying to test your patience, trying to get you to blow up in anger. They know what buttons to push, don't they? They know how to get you riled up. But if you display, again, this aspect of your Christian character, it's a quality. It's a quality of self-restraint. It's a quality of self-control when you're provoked. Yes, you have the power to take revenge, but you don't. You have the power to retaliate, but you don't. You have a spirit that's in you that refuses to retaliate, and a lot of the time that sends a more powerful message to others. Someone might be waiting for you to react. They might be waiting for you to attack. But when you don't, they might not know exactly what's going on, but you do. And you know it's Christ in you. Christ in action. You see, we all know people. We know people, or we've known people in our lives that will blow up at the least thing. You know, someone just told me this past week in a conversation about a boss that they used to have, and they were like, he would blow up at the least thing. He would yell at me every single day, and I would go home crying from work every single day. I felt so bad to hear this story. You know, there's people that do that. They blow up at the least thing. But Paul here, the Apostle Paul in the Bible, is calling us as Christians to have long fuses, to be long-suffering, to be patient. And when you think about it, the hardest people really to be patient with are the ones that we love the most, our own family. A lot of the times we take them for granted, don't we? We don't cut them the slack that we might give others when it comes to patience. Our expectation is much higher for our family members rather than a stranger or an acquaintance, for instance. But again, we think about patience, and we think about the patience in our family, particularly our Father. I want to speak about our Heavenly Father. I want to speak about God and the patience that God has exemplified for us. You see, God's patience really is the perfect example, especially since he's given us his spirit inside of us to enable us to be patient with others. Time after time, day after day, do we sin? Do we sin?
Yes.
Yes. We do. Yeah, 1 John, if we say that we do not sin, we are a
liar.
Of course we sin. Day after day, we sin. Time after time, you better believe it. And we might say, God, I am so sorry. I will never, ever, 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 ever do that again. But a day later, an hour later, 5 minutes later, What happens? We're back at it, quoting 1 John 1:9, confessing our sins to God. You see, but God in his incredible patience with us, towards us, again, is the perfect example. Because God works with us. He understands that we are in our flesh, we are human beings, and time after time after time after time after time, God forgives us. And that's true long-suffering. Jesus was asked in the Bible how many times that you should forgive someone. How much patience, how much slack should I give this person? They've sinned and 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 sinned. And Jesus said, 70 times 7. Basically, that was figuratively speaking that we've got to be patient with people. Give them time to grow. Give them time to overcome sin. Nobody's perfect. You know, an incredible verse in the Bible I'm going to show you on the screen that shows you an example of God's patience. And again, there's so many of these in the Bible. It's from Exodus chapter 34, verse number 6. And it says this, it says, the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, excuse me, merciful and gracious, and he's slow to anger and abounding in goodness and truth. Slow to anger is really a great way to express the fruit of patience. God has a long fuse. He is slow to anger. In the Bible, also in Psalm 78, this chapter really details how good God was to his chosen people Israel during the time of the Old Testament. He delivered them from slavery out of Egypt. He provided for them on their journey back home. He established leaders and judges over them to guide them. I mean, he was so good to them. And even though God was so good to them, the people of Israel constantly provoked God. They constantly sinned against him. But I want you to look here at Psalm 78 on the screen, and I want you to notice the great divine patience of God with us. In Psalm 78, it says, they remembered that God was their rock and the Most High God their Redeemer. Nevertheless, they flattered him with their mouths and they lied to him with their tongues. For their heart was not devoted to him, neither were they committed to his covenant. But God, being full of compassion, he forgave their iniquity and did not destroy them. He constantly restrained his anger. And he did not stir up all of his wrath. For he remembered that they were but flesh, like a wind that passes away and does not return. Again, a great example of the divine patience of God. There's another story that's told in the Bible of one of the superpowers of the day, Assyria. The capital of Assyria was Nineveh. And God was going to destroy that pagan, wicked capital city of Assyria after years and years and years of being patient with them. But he said he would give them one more chance. So he sent that reluctant missionary Jonah their way. And Jonah was reluctant at first, but then he changed his mind. And we all know how. But the thing about it is this. Jonah delivered the message to them. And they repented. They turned from their sin. And God did not bring judgment against them. In Jonah chapter 4, verse number 2, look at this verse on the screen. The Bible says that he prayed to the Lord and he said, O Lord, is this not what I said while I was still in my own land? This is the reason that I fled to Tarsus, because I knew that you are a gracious God and you're merciful and you are slow to anger. Again, you notice this is repeated over and over and over again by different people in different passages throughout the Bible. You're abundant in faithfulness and you're ready to relent from punishment. God wasn't ready to zap them. God was ready to forgive them and be patient with them. You know, as the case with us and how we should be, just when others in our life, man, they repent of sin, we don't hold it over their head anymore. We don't do that. So what do we do? In Romans chapter 14, if you look with me in Romans 14, look with me at verse number 13. Romans 14, 13. I want you to look at some of these verses for yourself in your Bible this morning. The Bible says this in Romans chapter 14, verse 13. It says, "Therefore, let us no longer pass judgment on one another, but rather determine not to put a stumbling block or an obstacle in a brother's way." Go with me to verse number 19. It says, "Therefore, let us pursue the things which produce" what? "Peace. And the things that build up one another, that edify one another, that encourage one another." Go with me to chapter 15. He gives us some practical examples on how this looks like. He says, "We who are strong, if you're strong in your faith, you ought to bear the weaknesses of the weak or the infirmities of the weak and not please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good, leading to edification. For even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, 'The insults of those that were who insulted you fell on me.' For whatever was previously written was written for our instruction, that through perseverance and encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. Now may the God of perseverance and encouragement grant you to live in harmony with one another, in accordance with Christ Jesus, so that together, you might with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." Amen? Amen. That's the goal. The goal is harmony. The goal is unity. The goal is togetherness. And when we do that, what does that do? In turn, it brings glory to God, our Father, because we're doing it in the name of Jesus Christ. But I want to make mention of this, though. The patience of God does not mean that we excuse sin. We don't sweep it under the rug, and we don't act like it doesn't exist. It just means that God is not swift to anger and judgment. As we read in those verses on the screen, God is patient, he's compassionate, and he gives people time to repent and turn to him, Romans 2:4. But remember this, God might be patient, but he's not permissive. That's in Romans 2:5, the very next verse. Sooner or later, our sins will catch up to us. Our sins will also cause enough self-inflicted damage to us. I like what Brother Wade said last week when he preached, and I wrote this down. He said, "Don't let your sins stop you from coming to the altar, from running to the cross and repenting of your sin, because God's grace is greater than your sin." Amen?
Amen?
Amen. In the Bible, in Romans chapter 12, if you turn back with me just a couple pages in your Bible, Romans 12:12, we have some great counsel that's given here in Romans 12:12. The Bible says these words. It's such a short verse, but it's so meaningful. Romans 12:12 says, "Rejoice in hope, be patient in suffering, persevere in prayer." And that verse says so much in so few words. It encourages us to make sure that our faith is not the ending point, but it's the starting point. When we feel like we are being impatient, the Bible says the solution is for us to put that into God's hands through prayer. Through prayer. Because we've got to realize this, and that is, if people are aggravating us, if they are offending us, and we are very impatient with them, or if we pour salt on the wound, so to speak, it just makes it that much more painful. And we've got to realize today, in the day that we live in, we're in a very unique time period according to the Bible. We're in what God has called the dispensation of the grace of God. The dispensation of grace. And in this dispensation of grace, yes, the world deserves the wrath of God. But God in his patience has been extending his grace. He's given people in this world an opportunity to turn to him and be saved. You see, I was listening to those songs that we were singing this morning, and some of those words I was dwelling on this past week as I was preparing this and reviewing this message, and we sang the song, Jesus Paid It All. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin left a crimson stain, but he washed it as white as snow. Amen? Amen. You see, he's giving people today an opportunity to turn from their sin and turn to him. You know, Dylan was singing the song that there's nothing our God can't do. And isn't that true? There's nothing our God can't do. And we've got to think again of the incredible patience that God has had towards us, that he expects us in turn to have with others. Man, when we think of the incredible patience of God, it kind of makes us feel small when we fly off the handle for the littlest things, or we hold grudges, and we later realize that, hey, that wasn't such a big deal. We get angry when we feel slighted about things. But the person that exhibits this long suffering, you know, they know what it's like to be hurt. They know what it's like to be wronged. And I'm not dismissing that. And they might have that desire to retaliate, but they don't. Again, that takes an obedient and submissive heart to God and his word. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, look on the screen with me, as Paul records here these words. And he says, be impatient towards all men. I just make sure you're paying attention. It says, be patient towards all men. And the next verse, the next part of that verse says, hey, if they do something wrong, punish them. No, it doesn't say that either, does it? It says, see that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men and to all people. That's supposed to be our manner of life. And I must say that there's no reason, though, to take anyone's abuse. If you're being abused, you just don't take that. And that's not what we're talking about here. But patience is enduring people that get under our skin, people that aggravate us, people who offend us. Patience understands the spirit here of what Paul is writing in Romans chapter 12. Look with me at verse number 17. Paul says, repay no one evil for evil. Very similar to the verse that we just saw on the screen. Repay no one evil for evil. Commend what is honest in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as it depends or lies within you, live peaceably with how many?
All.
With all men. Verse number 19, he says, beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to God's wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. God will take care of it. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him a drink. For in doing so, you will reap coals of fire on his head. And then verse 21, let's say it together. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Exactly. So true long-suffering manifests itself in a life that's humbly accepting the bumps that are along the path, the bumps that are in the road. You know, your family is not going to be perfect. Not every single day is going to be a great day, but that's okay. Being patient, being long-suffering follows the Lord instead of and regardless of the hardships that come our way. And, you know, even serving the Lord, even volunteer, we have hundreds of people in our church that take time out of their Sunday or take time out of their schedule during the week to come here and serve the Lord in some way. And sometimes serving the Lord can be challenging, especially in some of our ministries. I think right now, while we're in here and enjoying this service, there's probably a dozen crying babies in our nursery. And we have volunteers that have taken the time to excuse themselves from this service to serve the Lord in that ministry. Can that be challenging, watching all those crying babies? Most definitely. Would I know? No, because I'm not over there. But they are, you know. Our kids' ministry, again, so many of our volunteers take a service on Sunday morning or Wednesday night they come back, or maybe Thursday morning for little listeners. You know, they come back and they participate and teach our children. Man, can kids be rambunctious sometimes? I think I just heard the children's ministry workers say amen. Yeah. You know, teenagers, every Sunday night from 6 o'clock to 8 o'clock p.m., Wednesday night from 6 o'clock to 8 o'clock p.m., and other times during the week, we have volunteers, people among you that serve and minister to our teenagers. Yeah, can teenagers be a little disrespectful sometimes? Yeah. Can it be challenging sometimes? Yeah. We have an addictions ministry called Deliverance. Again, people come in here every Monday night for 2 hours with lots of problems trying to overcome addictions in their life. It can be challenging. We have a biblical counseling ministry. People come every single week, multiple times during the week, and meet with our counselors, again, trying to overcome and talk through and get godly counsel from the Bible on how they can overcome what they're going through in their life. Yes, for our volunteers, especially in those ministries, I just named 5 or 6 ministries. That can be challenging. That can be challenging. But their patience, I got to commend all these volunteers. Their patience, their long-suffering enables them to press on. Why? Because they know that their labor is not in vain in the Lord. Amen? Amen. They know that they are serving the Lord of Lords. They're serving the King of Kings. They are serving the one that holds everything in his hands. And it includes them. You see, when I think about all the volunteers we have and really the challenging things that they have to face in serving the Lord, you know, to me, I thank the Lord and praise the Lord for them, for their patience, for their long suffering. The Bible puts it this way in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. It says this. It says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, be unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain." Hebrews chapter 6, verse number 10, the Bible says this. "For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and your labor of love, which you have showed towards his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and you do minister." Why do we serve the Lord? Why do we have hundreds of volunteers during the week that serve in so many ways? They're not doing it for me, and I don't want them to do it for me. But they're doing it for who? They're doing it for him, and they should be doing it for him. You see, a great example, again, of patience. This has to do with patience. It has to do with long-suffering. And a great example of patience is a verse that we've looked at a few different times. I want to bring it up on the screen again. And it's from the book of James, chapter number 1. It says, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak," and say the last part with me, slow to wrath. Warmer passage we're going to look at, and I'll be done for the day. If you can turn with me to James chapter 5. In James chapter 5, I want to look at this last passage here with you, James chapter 5. In James chapter 5, James gives us a great example, a great illustration of patience. It has to actually do with farming. Do we have any farmers in the house? We've got a few hands that have gone up. You know, farming. And I remember I brought a little object in today just to share it as I conclude today. Oh, there's also a quarter here, too. Thank you, guys. Appreciate that. All right. Anybody know what this is? Artichoke, right. You know, my family loves artichoke, especially my parents. You know, whenever we visit my mom's family, they live in Sicily. And when we go there, I'm just amazed as we drive through the different areas, the different villages in Sicily, and we pass by, you know, the vineyards, but we also pass by just acres and acres and acres of these beautiful artichokes just growing right out of the ground with their long stalks. And, you know, I took some pictures. I showed Kathy the pictures yesterday just to refresh my memory. And I was thinking about the artichoke and how much I love artichokes. But I was thinking the artichoke is really a great example of patience, isn't it? I mean, artichoke is not something that you kind of eat like a banana or an apple that you can just kind of munch on right away and chomp, 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 and it's gone, right? It's not like that, is it? An artichoke, in order to eat an artichoke, you have to be patient. Because you got to eat, peel one of these off at a time, and then another one, and then another one, and then another one, and then another one. And I thought of this artichoke as I was looking at this passage from James chapter 5 and this illustration that he gives regarding patience, but he ties it into farming. Look at it with me here. He says in chapter number 5, verse number 7, he says, therefore, be patient. He says, be patient until the coming of the Lord, and we hope it's soon, amen? But he says, notice how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth and is patient with it until he receives it early, until he receives the early and the late rain. You also be patient. He said, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is drawing near. You know, a farmer has got to be patient, doesn't he? I mean, you don't plant seeds in the morning, for instance, and get fruit and veggies in your field right away, do you? It takes months of patience and doing the right things day after day. And if you do the right things and you're patient, the Bible says that you will reap a wonderful harvest. And the harvest that we're talking about is the unity, that wonderful unity that you will have in your relationships. Again, if we not only exhibit the Christian characteristics that we've talked about of humility, of meekness, and also of patience. Look at me once again at chapter 5, verse number 9. He says, do not grumble against one another, brothers, lest you be condemned. Look, the judge is standing at the door. My brothers, take the prophet who spoke in the name of the Lord as an example of suffering and patience. Indeed, we count them happy who endure. You've heard of the patience of Job and have seen the purpose of the Lord, that the Lord is very gracious and merciful. Go to verse 13. If any among you suffer, is anyone among you suffering, let him do what? Pray. Is anyone merry? Let him sing songs. Verse number 16. Confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you might be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth or accomplishes much. Amen. Verse number 19. Brothers, if any one of you strays from the truth and someone corrects him, let him know that he who converts the sinner from the error of his ways will save a soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. You see, when we talk about patience, a couple of weeks ago, I brought in this hammer. And I said, if I were to take this hammer and ask for a volunteer to come up here and I were to ask them to put their hand on this table and do that, would they feel that pain throughout their entire body? Of course, from head to toe. There's unity in our physical body. But what we're talking about today is unity in your relationships. And that's God's desire for you, is for you to maintain that unity. Because the Bible says in Psalm 133, how good it is when there is unity, when brethren dwell together in unity. But again, it's a choice that we have to make, a choice for us to exhibit those characteristics that are already in us of humility, meekness, and now patience. Will that be your choice today? Would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me? And as we dwell on the message today, I'd like for you just to open up your hearts to the Lord and just ask the Lord, Lord, how can I be more patient in my relationships with others that I interact with every day? Because I want to have that unity with my family. I want to be able to feel each other's hurts. I want to be able to rejoice with each other's victories. I want to be able to support those that support me. So I pray that you will pray this morning to open your hearts up to the Lord, have him examine you and show you where you can be more patient with others in your life and how that will bring and maintain that beautiful unity and harmony in your life. Lord, we do come to you in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. We thank you for loving us. We thank you for encouraging us. We thank you for supporting us. Lord, we thank you for being a God who's slow to anger and one that is very long-suffering with us. Lord, may we exhibit those same characteristics with those that are in our midst, so that way we can be like Christ. We can be like Jesus. Lord, help us to prioritize the presence of God in our life through our actions. Lord, we know if we do, we'll see change. And we'll see change for the better. So, Lord, my prayer for all of us here today, including me, is for us to let patience have her perfect work. We've got to let patience do its job in our life. So, Lord, help us to yield, help us to give way, and be patient. For it's in Jesus' name we pray.